Good morning. Welcome to you all on this beautiful Easter morning. Christ our Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Welcome in the name of the Lord. May the resurrected Jesus Christ live in your hearts, enabling you to celebrate Easter day by day. I do have a few announcements to make, and as always, if you would take a moment and fill out the ritual friendship cards, that would be greatly appreciated. Any messages that you need to leave for Reverend Chris or Jackie in the office, it's always very helpful if you might make a note on there if you have a moment, please. Only a couple announcements on the back of your bulletin. Reverend Chris's office hours is listed on there. I sent an email out this morning to my ladies' Bible group. I am going to have to reschedule that to the 11th of April. Just some things have come up unexpectedly in my life, and I find that I can't do it all. So I'm going to have to reschedule that. So that is rescheduled for April the 11th, and I did send an email out this morning as well. So I apologize for that. Wednesday will be our kids' club as usual. And Reverend Chris has an announcement. Before that, are there any other announcements I might have overlooked? Yes. Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl noticed the junior youth group on April 17th, and she will be sending an announcement out. Thank you, Cheryl. Anything else? Janice.
April 24th, we're going to have a divine dessert
Thank you, Janice. And it's a good thing it's after Lent and not before, so we can enjoy them. Okay, seeing no other announcements, then Reverend Chris has one, please.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all here this morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And it's great to celebrate. What a wonderful week we've had. So many people here last Sunday night and afternoon for the Last Supper Cantata, and we want to thank all those who participated and helped. I want to especially lift up Wanda for all her work. Let's give her and the choir a special thanks. We had the common meal on Thursday and the prayer labyrinth on Friday and quite a bit in between, but now is the time to celebrate and rejoice. Let's take a moment to greet one another with the joy of Christ.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. What a delightful time this morning to be together. If you could find your seat, please. Jackie did ask me to emphasize that it's hard for her to see everybody. That's a wonderful thing because there's enough of us here this morning. So if you are here, if you take a moment and fill out that card for Jackie, she'd really appreciate that, the ritual friendship. Community comes together to serve God and worship. We will be singing from the Brown Hymnal, number 289, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you.
Our call to worship is in your bulletin, please. It's a responsive reading, so if you would turn to the inside page. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law.
But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's bow for the invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. God of love, God of life, this is a new day. This is a new week. And this is a new season of the year. But above all, this is a time for us to celebrate new life, the new life that Jesus experienced after his own death, and the new life that we who believe in him can share. Gladden our hearts, we pray, with this good news, and enable us to celebrate with joy. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, the community comes together to share tithes and offerings. We know that we have passed from life to death because we love one another. Let us express that new life by giving our morning offering. Our offertory hymn in the Brown Hymnal will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 of number 240, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Thank you. We have received good news, news of resurrection and new life. This news is too good to keep to ourselves. We give these gifts so people across the world, as well as in this community, can hear the good news and receive it for themselves. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, the community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 27, and I will be reading verses 57 to 66, and that's on the New Testament page 33. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. The word of the Lord. This time we will have an anthem by our sanctuary choir, Jesus Lives.
Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Let us celebrate the risen Christ.
Jesus, the God and of God, Lord God.
Indeed, he does live. As we Christians call ourselves an Easter people, every Sunday for us is like an Easter Sunday, but of course none more so than Easter Sunday. It's a joy to gather on this day to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on a beautiful spring day, to gather together in our Easter best to give thanks to God for signs of resurrection in our life and in our world. Certainly this has been a good week, and we give thanks to God for all that has happened in our community and in our congregation. We give thanks for the good news received and good news shared in various forms. We received a great deal of good response and thanksgiving for the people who came to our Last Supper, to our prayer labyrinth and other events. And I want to let you know that very soon the video of the performance will be on YouTube, and very soon we will also have CDs of the performance. So if you would like one, please just let me know after church. But write it down, because I will forget, and as soon as they are ready, we'll make sure that you have one. We also want to give thanks for the good news happening in people's lives. I know some have been sick who are well. Some have had terrible times that are doing better. And some who have been seeking direction have found it. I want to lift up in particular good news I've shared throughout the congregation. We've been praying for Jana Heilman. Sonny, what is her last name?
Sparadino.
That we weren't sure last week what her married name was, Sparadino. And she still has a long way to go, but she had a condition, a stroke that was very rare and could very likely have led to her death. It has not, and many of the doctors are amazed at how well she's doing. But we know that the power of prayer is a very powerful thing. We give thanks and look forward to her return soon. What other joys and thanksgivings do we have to share? What signs of resurrection are happening in our life today that we cannot contain? Linda?
Just blessings to the family and a beautiful Easter celebration.
It's a joy to gather with family on Easter, and it is especially a joy to gather with our church family, and we give thanks for that. What else? What are Thanksgivings, Wanda?
The Trinity Point Church of God in Clarion is holding their first service in their new church today, and that's my brother's church.
The new church building today. We rejoice for the new church building for the Trinity, for the Clarion
Trinity Church of God.
Trinity Point Church of God in Clarion. Pray that your brother is leading them in a wonderful service this morning. Bill? Especially when one of them is my son, he can't hold him back. He doesn't listen to his dad. Don? David Hall was riding a bike and was hit by a car and had very serious injuries, including some spinal work done with him on him at UPMC, and he's still there in Pittsburgh. So let us pray for David Hall. What are our thanksgivings and joys and concerns we want to share this morning? City. We give thanks for City Church for holding the Good Friday service, and the Connellsville Area Ministerial Association for sponsoring it, and we give thanks for that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us, Ken. We do take for granted the wonderful breakthroughs of technology, but also in care that hospitals and doctors and nurses have. We know we have a lot of great hospitals in this area, as well as doctors and nurses who do great and wonderful work. We give thanks for all that they are able to do. This side's been hogging things a little bit. Teresa. Pray for your friend Pat. Jerry? Thank you for sharing that. The joy of all those who helped with the cantata. Behind the scenes and in front. Thank you. Are there any others? Mike? Thank you for that. And we also want to thank our custodian, Ron Soltis, who makes it look as if nothing had happened. He's an amazing miracle worker. Thank you for sharing that with us. And Sonny. We will pray for all those who were lost then, as well as those who have been touched, which, of course, we know extends far beyond the nation and far beyond the city throughout the world. Thank you for reminding us of that. And now let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah, everlasting God. Today we give you our thanks and praise, for today we celebrate that your Son, Jesus Christ, is risen from the dead. Mighty Lord, we are an Easter people blessed by your miracle of life after death. All of our hope and trust is in your grace, O God. Out of darkness comes light, out of despair comes new promise. We celebrate and remember that day when your disciples, full of doubt and full of fear, when the women, full of sadness, came to the tomb to give your Son a proper burial, but instead found him gone. And through the doubt and the worry and the anger, eventually the joy dawned upon them. The light dawned upon them. And they knew that what he had said was true, that he would rise again. Help us, Lord, to live in that light and in that promise. That in the days ahead, as we leave this place, we remember the joy of this moment and the joy of this day. Fill our lives with a joy that is beyond understanding, Lord. Remove our doubts with a faith that is deep and whole. Heal our spirits with your song of hope. We thank you for all the joy that has been ours these past few days. For good news that has been shared, and good news that has been passed. For all the joy that is happening in our lives, we give thanks. We know that you are the author of all and the giver of all good things. For opportunities to share your word and to touch new lives, we give you thanks. For those who are sick who are now well, we give you thanks. For those who are near death's door but who have been brought back, we give you thanks. A thousandfold, manifold thanks. And as we gather today, we also ask that you bring light and promise to those still in need. For David, who is in the hospital, we pray that his healing may be complete and his recovery full. Give him the strength he needs to get better, to get well, and to get home. We give thanks for all those who care in the hospitals throughout our area and throughout the world. It is an amazing gift that you have given us, and we are fortunate to be able to experience it and to be alive in this time. We pray for Pat as she recovers and as she awaits her surgery. And Lord, as we pray for ourselves in this time, in this place, we pray for all those throughout the world who are in need of the joy that comes in finding your Son, Jesus Christ, in the tomb empty. For those who are in despair, bring them hope. For those who are in doubt, bring them certainty. For those who are in sadness, bring them joy. Even in the midst of all the good things that have happened in our lives, we are reminded whenever we turn on our news and open our papers of the terror and sadness that exist in this world. And we know, O Lord, and we give thanks that your Son came to save us from these things. His power is still alive today more than ever, and needed today more than ever. And so we pray for those who lost their lives in terrorist attacks this week. We pray for those whose lives have been changed or touched in some way. And we pray that your Son will show us a way to a new world where things like this will never occur. Not just in the next life, but in this as well. Raise us, O God, from the pits that threaten to imprison us, the pits of fear and despair. Help us, Lord, to find a way out and to see that the door upon our tomb has been rolled away. Hasten the day when we walk as risen people, able to live fully in your magnificent and sure salvation. For even as we have gathered at the tomb time and time again and stooped and looked in, we find that it is empty. Thanks be to you. And send us from this place, O Lord, amazed at what has happened, that we might spread the word that your Son has been raised. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Come on down, come on down. I've got a little something for you, but we're going to wait till everyone gets here. Have a seat. See some coming off from there. Okay, so what day is it today? Did you get some of these at your house? No, but you got some. Did the Easter Bunny come to your house, though?
Yes.
All right. Okay. That's not going to fit in here. Well, I've got a little something for you as well. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to give each of you one. But we're not going to open them yet. We're going to all open them at the same time, okay? Can I trust you? And if I give it to you, you're going to wait until everyone has one, okay? Okay, so let's see. We can do this. There we go. There's one. Okay. Now remember, don't open these until everybody, when everyone has one. And you got to be seated if you want to get one. Similar to what Mary and Salome were. we're thinking. Who are they? Are they your neighbors? Do you know who they are? Who? That's right. That's the women who were going to put oil on Jesus' body so he would smell good, but when they got there, he was gone. They got to the tomb, and the tomb is this big like cave, and there's a rock in front of it. And they get there, and they think, oh, who's going to roll the stone away from us? Who rolled the stone away from them? In a manner of speaking. When they got there, it was already rolled away. So that's good news. Yes. It tricked you. So you thought you were still going to be there. They thought something was going to be in the tomb too. So they're all walking up to the tomb and they look inside. And what do they see? Happy Easter! Isn't this the best holiday where you get nothing, right? No. Well, at first they were upset. Because that was the very first Easter. But they didn't know it. They didn't know it, you're right. And so at first they were upset because they thought, what do they do with Jesus? Did they take him away? Isn't it bad enough that he died? Now they're taking his body. So they were upset. Then they were confused. Where could he go? And then, hold on a second. Then they were so happy. Why were they so happy? Well, you got a whole bunch of stuff here. Someone told them that he had been risen, but they didn't know who it was. First they thought it was an angel, but it was who? It took them a while to figure it out. But when they did, well, you know what? They left and had to go tell the disciples, right? Hey, the tomb's empty. And then the disciple was like, well, let's go see. So they run back. And it's empty again. And that's when they found out he had been risen. Yes. No, Jesus was born at Christmas, and on Easter he was born again, right? He was brought back to life. And that was their joy. The empty tomb, finding nothing, was the greatest joy they could have because the man they thought was dead was back to life. Now, here's the thing. Did you all get something for Easter today? So, I understand your disappointment when there was nothing in here, but I bet you have a lot of candy at your house, don't you? I want you to keep this egg, okay? I want you to all keep this egg. Take it home with you. You know why? Because, and I know it's hard to believe right now, but it won't be long before all the candy is gone. Won't be long before all the toys have been played with and maybe you don't care about them anymore or they're broken or lost. Right? But Jesus will still be risen from the dead, which means that the greatest gift you could ever get, which is eternal life with God in heaven, is still there. Your peanut butter eggs may be eaten, your jelly beans may all be eaten, but your sins will still be forgiven. Okay? So I want you to keep this to remind yourself of that. That's the greatest thing you'll ever get on Easter, no matter what candy you get. But one more thing. Later on, after church, we're going to have a little Easter egg hunt of our own. And I bet there's a good chance that if you find the Easter eggs, they'll have a little something in them. Okay? So thank you for listening. You go to your class. Remember, the Easter egg hunt will be after church. Okay? Our second scripture lesson today continues in the Gospel of Matthew, also on page 33 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. It's chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. And of course, you know where the story is going to go. As we've just heard, Jesus being arrested, whipped, crucified, and laid in the tomb. We then forward to Sunday morning, where after the Sabbath, as Matthew writes, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as we gather this morning to celebrate the happiest day of the Christian year, we cannot help but remember that at the center of the Easter story is death. Our celebration comes from the fact that death is in the middle of the story. The middle, not the end. For if the story ended in death, there would not be much to celebrate at all. We might remember Jesus Christ as an important teacher, a great prophet, a martyr for the faith. We might remember his teachings and his defiance, his compassion and his kindness. But there can be no doubt that we would not have the same enthusiasm or joy knowing that death indeed had the last word. But of course, we celebrate today because death has its place, but only its place. Without it, we might gather to celebrate the teachings and actions of a great man, a wonderful philosopher, a brilliant teacher. But without his unjust death, we would not have the resurrection. And so it would be a lot like welcoming the spring without first going through the winter. When I lived in Texas, that's what we did. We had about a month and a half of chilly weather, and there might be a little bit of ice, and everybody would freak out and wreck their cars for a day. But then by early February, things started to grow again. And it was nice not to have to worry about the weather in the winter, but the spring, it did not have the joy. It did not have the beauty that the spring here does. Now, I'm not saying that I want a 9-month winter to improve my spring, but there's something to be said about going through the dark times to enjoy the light. And that is the case for us as Christians. Death is central to the story and to ours as well. We know this. Somewhere in the back of our minds, this fact resides, and occasionally we even think about it, as try as we might not to. But sometimes we have to. And it's ironic how hard we try not to think of our own mortality when there are so many reminders staring us in the face. On the news, we hear of murders and deaths, bombings and shootings. In movies, the most popular ones often are the ones in which the body count is very high. And the most read page of any newspaper is the obituary columns. Above all of this, however, I would say the most ubiquitous and numerous reminder of our impending death are all the graveyards that we pass every single day of our life, and oftentimes don't stop to notice. If you think about it, they're everywhere. How many do you pass in a given day? My hometown of Wheeling, West Virginia, it is said, has more dead residents than living ones because of the number of graveyards there and because of how old the city is. I went to college in a place that is so tiny you can barely see it on the map. Bethany, West Virginia has, I think, about 600 people and about 700-800 students. They've got 3 graveyards. It's not enough. They've got to have 3 of them. There probably are more people in the tombstones than there are in the houses there. Even the old rural road that I grew up on, contained a cemetery tucked so far away that you almost never knew it was there. You had to go looking for it. It was covered with weeds in the hope that we might forget that it is there. And that's because graveyards can be scary. They are dark places full of shadows, places that remind us that our time is fleeting. They are the places where the dead and the living intersect. Countless frightening tales have been told from them and also, of course, about them. My brother in particular, he went to Bethany before I did. He used to tell us of all the scary ghost sightings they saw in the graveyard there, which is very, very old, goes back to the early part of the 19th century. He said that it was so much, there were so many people going to be scared that on Halloween it was guarded and you weren't allowed to go. And I would say that that was not the first time my brother lied to me, nor was it the last. Because when I got there 7 years later, I was all excited. I wanted to go. I wanted to see. I love ghost stories. I love to be scared. I don't know why. And so I talked several of my friends into joining me on Halloween night at midnight to go to the old, old, old spooky graveyard. And everyone thought that was a great idea, and they were all excited too. And when 11:30 came around, they were gone, just like Jesus' disciples after the Last Supper. I had two friends who were half scared or half wits, I don't know which, but they agreed to join me. And we went to the old, old graveyard at midnight on Halloween, and it was dreary and foggy and spooky. And what I saw, one of the things I thought was really funny is one of the old mausoleums, someone had taken dental floss and tied it and strung it all the way across there so that when someone wasn't looking, they could make it knock. I don't know who did that, but that's my kind of person. I like to meet them. So we were there, and literally nothing happened, except that the clock of Old Main, which is about a mile away, we could hear it clicking, or clanging, chiming, midnight, and maybe there was an animal or something. There was a noise, and we ran. But there's a problem. There's a catch. I don't know if you've ever been to this graveyard. For some reason, this graveyard is surrounded by a wall 4 feet high. It's 4 feet high and 3 feet in the ground. They say it's to keep the ghost in. Just more of the great lore. Point is that when we run, we've now got to get over this 4-foot wall. It was not an easy thing, but we were motivated. Fear is a great motivator, and we got out of there. And that was the last time I went to that graveyard at midnight on Halloween. Halloween or not, ghost or not, graveyards can be scary even on a beautiful sunny day. That's why a story I read this past week about a little girl in a graveyard caught my attention. It wasn't because it was very gruesome or haunting. In fact, it's because it wasn't at all. There was a little girl named Mary. Each day she walked to school with her friends, and when they would get close to the school, there was a graveyard between their houses and the school. And when they would get to the graveyard, her two friends would go all the way around, even though it took them an extra 8 minutes to go around. They didn't want to walk through. And all she did was just go straight through and get there and wait for her friends when they would get there. Mary's friends were very superstitious. They believed they were the kind who wouldn't step on a crack for fear of breaking their mother's back. Therefore, they were the kind who wouldn't whistle past a graveyard, much less walk through one. They also had the fear that if you walked over someone's grave, that was bad luck, and they never knew, you know, if the stones had shifted a little bit. So just to be safe, they would go around no matter how much it inconvenienced them. So they left Mary for a while, and they walked all around the gates and met up with her on the other side after she nonchalantly and fearlessly walked through. One of their school teachers noticed this every day. And having a healthy fear of graveyards herself, one day she asked Mary, "Aren't you afraid of walking through the graveyard?" The little girl looked at her and said simply, "No, I'm not afraid. I just cross it to reach home." And that's the whole story. It's the little girl teaching her teacher how silly it is to be superstitious and to be afraid of graveyards. No ghoul or ghost came to get her. She incurred no curse, no bad omen. She simply acknowledged the graveyard as a place that she had to pass through in order to get home. The Marys of the Gospel, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and the other Mary showed similar fortitude. Although they believed that their Savior was dead, and not just dead, but killed as a traitor, they went to his tomb. They were neither afraid of the tomb nor the dead body, nor were they afraid of being associated with a man who was given the most terrible death a person could get. They expected, when they got there, to see his body and nothing else. They, as one of the children pointed out to me, they didn't know it was Easter. They had no idea that they were going to the first Easter. So they went with no joy. And I think they did go with fear, but they did not let the fear master them. A fear so great that the others, including his disciples, stayed away. And they had more to fear than just a dead body. It wasn't a ghost that they would have been afraid of. There were guards surrounding the tomb, put there by Pontius Pilate himself, governor from Rome. And as I said, he was killed for fear that he was inciting rebellion against Rome. Not the kind of person you want to pay tribute to. It would be risky, to say the least, to be associated with him. Yet still they came. Fear as they might have had, they had bravery as well. Nothing prepared them, though, for the frightening thing that they saw when they got there. For when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. Initially, a good thing. But then Jesus' body was gone. At first, they feared his body had been stolen. But then Matthew tells us, as if that was not enough, then the earth shook. An earthquake happened. Now that is enough to put the fear of God in you, but that wasn't it. Because after that happened, the guards dropped dead. And then a man appeared. Now we know it was Jesus, but they did not at the time. According to Mark, a man dressed in white greeted the women at the tomb. And both gospel writers agree that the women were afraid. And you would have been too if you were there. Let's not pretend that you're so strong and tough and mighty. You would have been shaken in your boots, and so would I. If you went to your mother's grave, a man told you that she had risen from the dead, you would probably fear that man, whether you believed him or not. If you went to your father's grave and he reappeared, accompanied by an earthquake, you would tremble. You might never enter another graveyard again. And so the women were afraid, but the truth began to dawn on them eventually. The words that had been taught to them before Jesus died, the words that had been given to them now after his death, finally began to sink in. Now, Mark's gospel ends with the women saying nothing because they were afraid. But Matthew continues by saying, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings," and they came to him, took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me." Now, this is what we talked about at Christmas time. Every time the angels come to tell people about Jesus being born, the first thing they have to do is say, "Fear not," even though they are giving them great and wonderful news. The women get filled with joy, but the fear is still there, and it stays until Jesus himself takes it away. Their fear was mixed with joy, and they told the disciples that Jesus would meet them back where it all began, at home in Galilee. As we celebrate this blessed event today, there should be no fear in our hearts, only joy at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But certainly there is fear in our lives for the things that make us afraid. And so we could be like the disciples in the story, the ones who avoided the grave, who tried to deny the reality of death, and waited on the other side for the women to come and tell them that it was all right. Or we could be like Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Mary the little girl on her way home from school. For we can acknowledge that death is a part of life, but it is not the end. It's the middle, if that. For Christ is risen, and in him we are risen too. Just as the winter follows the autumn, but then gives way to spring, so too does death follow life before giving way to eternal life. And that is the good news. Not the okay news, not the all right news, but the good news, the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. He did not eliminate death, but as the Apostle Paul writes in Corinthians, he removed its sting. He took away its victory. He moved its position in the order of our life. For without the cross, the graveyard isn't on the way home. The graveyard is home. But because of the cross, we are able to pass through on our way to our final home. As I'm driving around, as I say, I passed a lot of graveyards, and a while ago I passed one that I thought was very interesting. It was a memorial park. It was very big, and they had a sign outside that had an offer that if you bought one tombstone, you got a free crypt. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. That is the most interesting deal I've ever seen. I guess it's an investment, so to speak. And the thing is, of course, no one wants to plan their funeral and no one wants to make those preparations for the time in which they are no longer alive. And if that's what it takes to get people to come to terms with their mortality, okay. We live our life as if it is a temporary existence, then so be it. But for me, there is a better deal that we can take. A better offer that has been made for us. An offer that says that death is short. It is a small price that we must pay for an eternal reward and an everlasting home. And the path has been laid out for us. Just follow the path of the cross. There's no shortcut. There's no way around. It must lead you through the graveyard to the tomb, but it does not stop there. Because of the first Easter, because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of his saving grace and mercy, because of the great good news that Jesus Christ is risen, the cross will lead us to the grave, but only for a short while. And then it will lead us all the way to our eternal home. For all the things that we give thanks for today, none is greater than that, nor could it ever be. Follow the cross. It will lead you home. Amen. And now this morning, the community gathers at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed, and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 287 in the Brown Hymnal, Were You There? Although we don't like to think about death, one thing we do think about sometimes, or often in fact, is what we would have written on our tombstone. The epitaph, the quote or the saying, the thing that would summarize our life. It is difficult to imagine what that would be. For my own, it might say something, father, minister, or perhaps it might be better to say that he left no candy uncrushed. Whatever it is that would be our greatest accomplishment, it is difficult to decide what that would be for all of eternity. And in fact, it should be the goal of every person's life to live a life such that it can never possibly be summed up on a piece of stone. For all that we are and all that we do and all the ways that we impacted the world, those are the things that should last beyond any marker. I'm thinking of, for instance, a man named Stephen Foster. If you've not heard of him, he is one of America's greatest songwriters and really our first world-renowned songwriter. And he wrote songs such as "Oh Susanna," "My Old Kentucky Home," "Camptown Races," and one of my favorites, "Hard Times Come Again No More." The man was born and raised in the Lawrenceville section of Pittsburgh, and although he was world-renowned, he died poor, and he was buried in Allegheny Cemetery, and you have to have a map to find his tombstone because it is as bare and plain and tiny as you can imagine. And yet, every year, people gather there and have a great celebration. They call them Doodah Days because his songs are his legacy, and they far outlast him, and they will far outlast any tombstone that is there. That should be our goal as we live, and that certainly was the case with Jesus Christ. For we know that he did not spend very much time in his tomb, and we do not go to his tomb to be closer to him, or to speak with him, or to have quiet time with him. Instead, we come to this table to celebrate the fact that he is still alive, that he is the Son of the living God, that he is risen and risen indeed. And through him, we also will not be needing to spend much time in our own tombs. For he has given us the promise of eternal life. He has called us to live in a mansion, in a home that he has created for us, that he has prepared for us, that awaits us when our time comes. Let us share in this meal this morning and give thanks for all of these blessings and this wonderful good news, and rejoice in the promise that through Jesus Christ, there will be a time when indeed hard times will come again, no more. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come here on this beautiful Easter Sunday. Could not be more perfect. The sun is shining, the flowers are beautiful, and when we sing hallelujah, I'm sure the angels can hear us. But we come here remembering that this is our halfway point, that we come here because we know that on the other side, that's where you were, that we want to be one day to that place where we can rest and see the others and see the people that we miss and love. And we know this because our faith shows us that even though we may die, we will rise again and be with you forever. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after having blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread or drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now the community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 299 in the Brown Hymnal. He Lives. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. Let us stand as we sing. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Before we have our benediction, I'd just like to remind you of the Easter egg hunt that will take place after the service. The children will be kept down in the nursery and up in the junior church classrooms. I know we can't hold back the angels, Bill, but we're going to do our best to slow them down for a few minutes. There are people with baskets of eggs in the back, so as you leave this place, please take a couple and hide them somewhere in the narthex, the sanctuary, or the Easter room, and then get out of the way. Now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Go forth, praising God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for by His great mercy He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Amen.